Chapter 27. 2 days of their deep space voyage through the blackness between solar systems had passed. Charlie couldn't even guess the rate of travel at which they were moving, but to pass from solar system to solar system so swiftly, he knew full well it was far beyond anything humanity could have dreamed of. Tuk-Tuk apparently had one thing right. Captain Tour had spared no expense on procuring enough Drooks to get his ship moving at ridiculous speed. Whatever the tech was they used to achieve that end, Charlie had to admit they certainly did their job well. Apparently, there was an even faster way to travel, a warp or jump or something of that sort, but it was prohibitively expensive to use with any regularity, and the captain seemed to be all about saving his coin. Charlie woke on the third day to a faint blue glow coming in through the window. At first, he thought it was some sort of work light or display reflecting through the opening. But he didn't have the opportunity to look before the slaver tufts came and dragged him and Tuk-Tuk out of their cell and brought them to the ship's storerooms. It was only after the work boss had directed them to pick up the large containers fitted with shoulder straps and marched them out of the ship that Charlie realized the astonishing reality. They had landed. "Holy shit," he gasped. "This is another world."
"You saying this as if never happened," Tuk-Tuk said, craning his eye stalks to get a better look at the bustling marketplace they and the other slaves were being herded toward.
"It doesn't ever happen, Tuk-Tuk. At least not on my world."
"You people not have strong magic, do they, Charlie?"
"Enough with the magic talk already. Let's just say we have different tech and leave it at that, okay?"
"Fine. Your tech magic is no very good strong."
"Seriously?" Charlie grumbled. The blue giant illuminating the sky was a marvel to behold. The intensely burning ball of helium within a hydrogen plasma envelope had once been a red dwarf before entering the blue giant phase of its dwindling life. The sun's rays felt strange on Charlie's skin. Not as though it was burning, exactly, but the spectrum was simply so different from what he was accustomed. His body didn't know how to react. Tuk-Tuk, however, being a blue-skinned being, seemed to revel in the warm glow. His load almost seemed to lighten on his shoulders.
"You okay, man?" he asked his happy blue friend.
"Very okay. Feels good to have sun on my skin."
"I've never seen a blue sun before. I mean, not like this. They're incredibly rare, you know."
"He's weaker than my home, but feel good. And blue not rare, though power people from blue sun worlds are much rarer than others. Almost everyone just normal person, like Tuk-Tuk, just want to live our lives."
As if he heard their conversation, that slaver leading their procession shouted for them to keep up, then muttered a few words that Charlie couldn't quite hear. The resulting shock from his collar, however, he didn't miss.
"Ow!
Keep moving. If you fall behind again, you will receive a much less gentle reminder."
"He calls that gentle?"
"For Teslaver, yes. We lucky he no make us shock until we no move. But, of course, they need us for to carrying supplies, and no moving make us bad for that job."
"Great. So the one thing that's our saving grace is we can carry stuff for them. Lovely." Charlie made a point to stick with the other collar-wearing slaves as they moved through the marketplace. Despite his circumstances, he couldn't help but marvel at all that was going on around him.
"This is incredible. Actual aliens. A shit ton of them, too."
Charlie only wished he were on this world as a tourist and not a beast of burden. There was so much to see, so many different species of aliens to discover, and Tuk-Tuk was happy to be his guide.
"Hey, how about that one? What's that kind called?" Charlie asked, pointing at an extremely pale alien with thick black hair.
The man was wiry and relaxed, yet radiated an unstated strength. He was wearing a light material in the heat of the blue sun, and what appeared to be small spinal ridges made a slight bumped impression through his tunic, the only real oddity to his otherwise humanoid appearance.
"Oh, him Wampe. You no want get too close to Wampe. They typically bad mood people,"
Tuk-Tuk said, unconsciously veering farther from the pale alien.
"What's up, Tuk? You okay?" he asked, noting his friend's discomfort.
"Yes, it's just that some Wampe sometimes have strange people from them. known to hurt power people for take their blood.
I'm sorry, they what now?
He's rare, very, very rare. But them come from black hypergiant place. That why they so pale. But power there very strange for different species. Even among Wampe, they anomaly. They sometimes power taker.
It was then that Charlie noticed that the slaver leading them through the marketplace had also observed the Wampe, and the slop was already on his hand, held casually, but ready for rapid deployment if needed.
Damn, the guy doesn't seem to be bothering anyone. But if it got him spooked?
Charlie may have been a foreigner to the strange world, but he was not stupid.
I have no idea how any of that works, my friend.
But I'll take your word for it, he said, steering well clear of the pale man. Apparently, the Wampa had drawn the attention of others, and not scrutiny of the good kind, Charlie noted as they plunged into the depths of the tents and stalls. Everyone gave the intimidating man a wide berth, but wary eyes were continuously on him. It felt like one of those old movies where prison yard toughs circled the new guy, waiting to see who'd be the first to test his mettle. Charlie turned and kept up with the others. Whatever befell the pale man would happen with or without him watching, and he had no desire of another zap from that collar for holding up the others. He looked back one final time, wondering what would happen to the man, then trotted off.
Not my problem.